Welcome back, everybody, to the Untitled Esports Show. My name is Gutex, and here on the Untitled Esports Show, we have my favorite esports veterans of the industry. They are Zorin, who's here as always, and filling in for Slasher, who has gone missing in action at the very last second. We got Travis Gafford coming in from the esports Clutch headquarters.
I think my full name in the esports industry is filling in for Slasher, who has gone MIA at the last second, Travis Gafford. I think that's actually my full title in this industry. Because I've done this so many times. Most recently at TwitchCon, when DJ Wheat had a panel about esports planned, and then I think like 2 days before I got a message like, hey, you want to be on a panel? And then I didn't find out until the panel started. He's like, so originally Slasher was supposed to be on this. I'm like, great, glad I'm here. Glad I was your first choice, Marcus.
That's incredible. It's all funny, right, because Travis and I worked with Slasher for a very long time. So.
Yeah, me too. Well, maybe not a long time, but yeah, me too. Travis, Slasher actually brought us all together and then got his dumbass fired.
Yes.
from GameSpot, short-lived GameSpot Esports.
I'll do my best to be like, yo.
No, your microphone's too good for it.
Yeah. You need to break like one of the pins in the mic or something.
Yes.
To give us that full Slasher experience.
Yes. Well, happy to be here.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for coming through in the clutch. We got a short show today, so we should get right to it. This is the show where we talk about all the stuff going on in the wide, wide world of the esports ecosphere and all of the zaniness going on. And to remind you guys, we finally got the stuff, got everything on iTunes and Spotify. So you can search for the Untitled Esports Show there on either of those channels, or go to anchor.fm/Untitled Esports Show. All right, let's see. Let's get into it. So first things first, the Fortnite cult grows in power and influence every day. And it has claimed a new victim/partner, and that is Nike with their Air Jordan brand of shoes. I guess they're teasing an announcement. They teased an announcement today. And tomorrow there's going to be more information. I'm sure it's something more than a shoe, but I guess it's kind of a big deal. Maybe. What do you guys think?
I mean, this seems like just it's kind of like Game of Thrones. Whenever that was going on for the past like month and a half, everything was Game of Thrones. There was Game of Thrones makeup that got released. There's Game of Thrones everything. I mean, I feel like Fortnite is still riding that wave. I mean, if they're going to do collabs with Marvel, you know, it's not surprising to me that they're doing collabs with like Nike and stuff. Also, it feels like we just run on a collab in like infrastructure now in the US. Everyone collabs with everyone. Everything's a collab. So I am not surprised, and I am mostly ambivalent about this whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, as a Jordans enthusiast,
there we go.
Who purchases shoes and really, you know, takes great care in curating their collection and spending money on shoes, like, or sneakers specifically, I was actually kind of, okay, my honest first reaction to seeing this was kind of like, whoa, please no, tell me this is not happening. Because let's be real here, a lot of like, you know, the vast majority of the Fortnite audience, which is appealing to a lot of brands and such, I get it, it's like very young. You know, it's kids, right? Like, you have like the stories about young children who love Ninja, who follow Ninja, or who play Fortnite themselves and really enjoy it. It's their target demographic. And for them, for the Jordans brand to suddenly associate with like kids who I am assuming are not usually able to afford a $160 pair of sneakers just seems so weird to me. Like, it's just a disconnect, and it's lowering the brand and diluting the brand, in my opinion.
Like, this is the same stuff people used to say about League of Legends. There's a lot of kids that play League, but there's also a shit ton of college students. Like, college students are the demo, I think, that would buy the stuff, or even adults that are slightly older than college. And I'm sure that some huge percentage of the Fortnite audience is also made up by people like that. So I'm not shocked. I mean, I have a brother who just graduated college, and he he plays Fortnite all the time and knows a ton of the stuff that I don't know about what's going on in that pro scene. So I don't know. I mean, he's not a sneakerhead, but I assume people that are his age would be interested in that type of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily going to be aimed at kids or that that somehow damages the brand in and of itself. I think that I feel bad for all of the kids who are going to be bothering their parents for these shoes. But I think the real, I guess what makes this deal interesting for me is that I feel like there's the potential of having these same shoes or clothes or whatever also available within the game as some sort of like special item that you can purchase in some way. And I think it would be interesting to see what happens with that, because typically in these types of deals, it would be the apparel company paying some sort of licensing fee to the developer, right, to make these shoes. But I'm sort of now thinking that this could be some sort of like two-way revenue stream for Nike selling the shoes, but also for Fortnite selling, let's say, the digital versions of these shoes, which, you know, all of the kids with no money, as you call them, Zorin, will be able to buy.
I mean, when you were a kid, were you able to buy $160 shoes? Look, like, I agree. I think, you know, the point that Travis League of Legends, like college students also being fans of these games. Yes, totally valid. My problem is like the aesthetic, like it doesn't fit. Like Fortnite is inherently a very cartoonish looking game. And the comparison you make to League of Legends is League at least has really cool art. It has a cool aesthetic. There are options
That's your opinion, Zorin. You just don't like the Fortnite aesthetic because it somehow reminds you of something that was missing from your childhood.
What? It's literally got like cartoonish characters who do dances.
People have said that about League a lot, by the way. Like, I'm surprised you as a Dota person are not saying that, because the Dota people are always like, if I want to play that kid's cartoon game, I'll go play League of Legends. All five of those people are saying
League does have like the cartoony options, but there's also like, if you want to look at the more dark art, I think the splash art there, like there are options there where, you know, you can go in the other direction as well. Fortnite is just cartoonish through and through, and that's like the aesthetic that they're going for. So I don't think it really fits well with the Jordan's brand. I don't know. This is just my honest like feeling that I got when I saw this. And as someone who actually, you know, like I bought a pair of Jordans last week that I was super hyped about, and then I see this and I was like, damn, like what
should save my money. Wow, you're gonna return the joy. You're gonna return.
I'm not
your
returning
Jordans
them. I'm definitely not returning them. But
I can't believe you're so anti Fortnite. I mean, I feel like the gaming people should be happy that we're now on that level where gaming brands and video game brands are getting to do such mainstream collabs.
Yeah, where it makes sense.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's great for the gaming industry and the esports industry.
Yeah. Well, I guess we won't be. I'm not personally going to be shelling out any money for this. But
I don't buy expensive sneakers anyway, so it's irrelevant to me. But I think that the people who are interested in it will like it, and the people who aren't will ignore it, and then we'll all be done with it in the next 10 minutes.
True.
Yes.
All right, let's see. Moving on. The really big news of the week. Maybe we should have covered all this other stuff first, but that's okay. The really big news of the week that came out yesterday or the day before, Hollywood Reporter is reporting that Tfue has filed a lawsuit with FaZe Clan, which is the team that he's signed with, for all sorts of issues, such as violating California law and the Talent Agency Act. This is a really, I would consider this a monumental lawsuit, because it's something that I think has been long overdue with all of these esports organizations' contracts. At least the ones that I've read, maybe a couple of which I've signed. But the type of stuff, when you read the article and then look at the actual lawsuit, this type of stuff is super common within the industry. And it's about time, I think, that somebody is at least bringing this to the forefront.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for context, we should maybe Maybe not everyone knows who Tfue is, but he's basically a professional Fortnite player who blew up when he signed with the esports organization FaZe Clan, and he's now competing under their banner. And for some reason, woke up one day and decided that he wanted to pursue a case where he sued FaZe for a number of things, which I think were about.
I don't think he woke up that way. Here, I can tell you exactly how this went down. I mean, without having insider knowledge, like I would bet money on it being this. This guy gets huge. He signed a deal with FaZe. It's apparently a very aggressive deal where they're taking 80% of his sponsorship deals. Now they claim they don't take any of his YouTube money or Twitch money, whatever. That's a baseline. Like what? I mean, I don't think any org should still be doing that. And then at some point in time, an agency like a WME or a CAA or somebody like that goes up to him and goes, hey, what are the terms of your contract and how long is it going to last? And he's like, oh, well, you know, it's like a 3-year contract, 80%. And they go, what? Oh, yeah. By the way, here are the terms that we would offer you. And then he goes, what? And then, you know, is like, hey, this is a really shitty deal and I could be making millions more than I'm making. And then goes to FaZe and is like, hey, can I get out of this? And they're like, nope. Probably goes to a lawyer. And the lawyer's like, wow, there's so much money we can make off of this because there's no way that this contract is going to be held up. So that, I am sure, is the path that this took.
But on the other hand, FaZe did come out with the response clarifying that they don't take, I think they clarified what exactly they do take. And it's something like, let's see. So they, as Travis mentioned, 0% of tournament winnings, 0% of Twitch and YouTube revenue, 0% from any social platform.
Whatever that means, by the way.
Yeah, I like how they threw that in there as if it means something extra. Let's see.
They don't reference at all they're not like, by the way, it's not actually 80%. They basically, by not mentioning the 80% sponsorship thing, admit that that's the case, but in this thing they say they've only collected $60,000 from the partnership, which to me just shows how bad of a job they've done selling Tfue. This guy's huge and you've only collected $60,000 of this. Like, how have you done such a poor job dealing sponsorship? You should have made way more off of him. So I don't know, I think it's ridiculous.
They say that it's a maximum of 20% that goes to them in both tournament winnings as well as content revenue, and 80% of that goes to Tfue. So this is actually not really a clarification at all.
So like the FaZe's strategy has been to obfuscate the stuff. Like I've yet to see very much where they disagree with any of the things that they've said in the claim, like the Tfue side. Instead, they just address other things around it, and they lean on the fact that like their audience is going to be confused by this, right? This looks like they're saying, no, everything he's saying is wrong, but actually they don't disagree with any of his claims. They're just like, by the way, we're not taking any of his Twitch money or his YouTube money. And so it looks like it's not the same. And from what I can tell from the, like, because Banks also did this video, and in the video he talks about a lot of stuff. He makes very emotional appeals in it, and again, just doesn't disagree with any of the stuff that he's in there. There's a great moment in there, that's Malixia clip, I think, went viral, where Malixia is listening to him admit that there's been underage drinking on the business premises, which I know whenever we talked about this on my show, Twitch chat ignited, and they're like, who cares? Everyone does underage drinking. Well, whenever this is brought up at a court of law, like that actually is a situation where this matters. So I'm fascinated to see how this goes. My prediction is they're going to settle, because it sounds like even in the they're just publicly admitting that there was drinking and all this stuff. They'll settle. They'll claim, oh, yeah, everything is good. We let them release and all this stuff, and then that'll be it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to get settled. I was reading an interview with the site was interviewing Ryan Morrison, the video game lawyer. He's the head of Evolved, And basically, he was saying that this is going to settle. There's no, like, a first year law student would be able to handle this because there's so many violations of the talent agency law and the, I guess, probably some California labor laws. Did you guys get a look at the actual document with the lawsuit?
Yeah, it's linked in that Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's actually pretty interesting because, you know, a lot of the things that are in there that they're claiming on the TIFU side is, or the things that they're bringing up is that there's FaZe has exclusivity even after the agreement with TIFU ends, meaning that, you know, even after for 3 months, he would have to still let them know and give them the option to match various offers. And also that they're also claiming that, you know, FaZe was needing to approve all of the third-party requests for TIFU's appearances and services. And I guess all of this is really sort of anti-competitive in nature. But the thing is, this is super standard for esports organizations' contracts. I mean, have you? What's you guys' thoughts on, you know, teams controlling the opportunities of the players that they sign in this way?
I mean, isn't that sort of thing? It's basically a non-compete, but that's illegal in the state of California. So I don't think that's something that they can necessarily enforce. I know in esports in particular, so much of this kind of goes under the radar, unpoliced. Players don't know any better. Like, there's like a very low precedent for these kind of things as well, because we are so in such a new industry, which is problematic. But, you know, I would say that, again, most esports organizations are based here in Los Angeles in the state of California. That's not legal.
I mean, the big thing here is certain things that are in this contract are legal as long as the company that you're signing it with is a licensed agency. And a lot of these esports orgs are not licensed agencies. This is part of the reason why different companies have branded themselves as like management groups or whatever. I think Everyday Influencers, which is the company that eventually became, I want to say they eventually became PressX, or they were part of that sort of thing, right, which eventually sold to UTA. They, like, their website disappeared one night and came up as like a completely different thing later on, because the rumor was that, you know, there was a conversation around like, oh, you're operating as an agency, you don't have this. And also that was way back in the Alex Garfield days. A lot of the conversation around Good Game was whether or not it was a licensed agency or not. I think Richard Lewis had some crazy thing about that back in the day. So I think, look, the interesting thing is this is something that's likely to have become an issue for esports orgs for some time, and questions around whether what is allowed and permitted underneath California law. And, you know, if you are an esports org that operates in this manner, you should be paying close attention to how this goes, because there's a chance that legal precedent will be set here, depending on how far it goes. And I don't know, I'm very curious to see how it goes.
Oh yeah. I mean, 100%. Anybody from a player side, no matter what game you're playing, whether it's FGC or any other genre, you need to look at this article, look at it up on the Hollywood Reporter, because you have the whole document in there. Look at this contract. You don't need to be a freaking lawyer in order to look at the beginning of the complaint, and then look at the parts that are highlighted in the doc, and then look at your contract, and then see if any of this looks familiar. Because if it does, I believe now that all of the esports lawyers out there, and I mean really all the entertainment lawyers out there, would love to take a look at this and see if they can represent you and potentially get you out of your contract, get you a better deal, something like that. So if I were any of these people, I would definitely do that.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, I've looked at deals. I've looked at lots of deals, both for myself and for other people. And this stuff is so common. I mean, it's the standard. And that's part of what the complaint says, that, you know, these things are illegal, at least in California. So it's really a good opportunity for everybody to, I don't know, look at your contracts.
My final thing, by the way, on this is OV, who's a good friend of mine, tweeted out something. He's used to work at Riot Games, now works at Popdog, which is the company that owns Loaded, which, full disclosure, is a company that I work with and do business with. He was talking about just how crazy this will be if it doesn't get settled, because the amount of stuff that Tfue's attorneys will be able to pull going through discovery, they'll be like, hey, let's look into all the conversation around like the betting stuff that was associated with this. And like, there's just so much crazy stuff that could come to light because that FaZe is an organization that I think has ridden the line in terms of, you know, the way they operate for some time. I'm fascinated to see how this goes.
Yeah, so you're basically saying all the dirty laundry is going to come out.
If there is dirty laundry, right? Like, I'm not saying 100% that there is, but esports orgs have been able to fly under the radar for quite some time because they're small and they're not traditional sports and they're not traditional entertainment. And, you know, like, how much of this stuff, whenever a judge finds out about it, is going to be like, what the hell is going on with this company?
Yeah.
So super excited to see how it goes.
Well, the other thing is that the claim or the complaint basically refers to Tfue as an artist, because part of the deal is about the content that he's producing both on Twitch as a streamer as well as on YouTube. Yeah. So they're not going the cyber athlete route with this. They're saying that this dude is an artist and you're representing him as a talent agent, as an agent, but you're not a licensed agency.
Yeah.
Because you're not even supposed to be able to collect money for people and then pass that along as, you know, so basically you collect the payment, take your commission, and then pass the remainder off to talent. You're not even supposed to do that if you're not a licensed agency. And apparently it's not even that expensive to become a licensed agency. And I'm sure an organization with the deep, deep pockets of FaZe could afford it, but
guessing there's regulations that go along with it that are inconvenient to a certain organization. I don't know. And once you're licensed, you become part of everything that goes along with that license. And so I'm not sure, but I would guess that there's stuff attached to that.
I think it's also kind of interesting and maybe worth pointing out that I think Slasher posted it on Twitter that Banks had a very heated response to Nadeshot about this whole ordeal in a tweet that has since been deleted. But it's just seeing the difference between how Nadeshot addressed the situation versus how Banks, who is the co-founder and I also think the co-owner of FaZe, reacted to it, is just
right. But what did he say?
I know we've only got 20 minutes, but I just want to read this out because I got to read it on my show last night and I felt really good to read it, so I'm going to read it.
Let's
do it. So Nadeshot tweeted like, oh, I hope the recent news doesn't affect the broader gaming community's perception. He didn't call out FaZe or anything like that. He was just trying to say like, look, there are orgs out there that aren't behaving the way that Tfue is alleging FaZe behaved. And FaZe replied, you're a piece of shit, dude. And when my side of this is heard, you'll see why. Way to fucking jump on the bandwagon and chase the clout. You must be dancing right now. By the way, he said, you must me dancing right now. Matt, I'm going to personally make sure you regret tweeting this and adding to this bullshit dumpster fire. I don't know if he did make Nadeshot regret it, because he did. Nadeshot then deleted his tweet and was like, I've got great respect for FaZe. they've done. So I don't know what happened there, but it was great. I know we've only got 20 minutes, and I've got at least a 10-minute rant in me about this, like, topic number 5, so I don't...
Oh, no, that was an amazing readout. Thank you, Travis, for reading that tweet out. That has since then been deleted and probably brought all over the internet now as a new copypasta, so well done, Banks.
All right, let's see. In the ongoing saga of the racists over at Vision Venture Partners, which is the company that owns Echo Fox, Riot Games has issued an official order demanding that Echo Fox remove the alleged racist Amit Rezada from the organization if they would like to keep their spot within LCS. So Riot is taking action. And yeah, finally, we got some official word.
I mean,
what do you guys think?
It's basically Riot, like, Riot handed them an ultimatum, but really, it leaves them no choice, right? And either way, it actually, what they've done has really helped Echo Fox come out of this whole ordeal as the good guy, which, you know, we've discussed this at length already, conspiracy theories and all, like, was this Rick Fox trying to find a way out of his, or, like, rescue his organization, which was, by everything that we had heard, kind of not doing so well internally. So I think what Riot did, like, they've really gone and saved Echo Fox in a lot of different ways by making this ultimatum.
I mean, I don't know if they've saved him, but the big thing for me is that it echoes back to basically what the NBA did with the Clippers. I don't know if you guys brought this up in previous shows.
So I don't remember that.
Watch this show at all, but Don Sterling apparently had said racist stuff, and they forced him out. They forced us all out of the Clippers. So this, for me, is it just mirrors what we've seen in traditional sports.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess the,
I mean, we'll see how it goes. I think it's worth, I'm glad that you guys brought it up, but also I don't know if there's too much of a conversation to have yet since we haven't seen the cell. Happy that Riot's doing it, though.
Absolutely. And when I say they saved Echo Fox, I mean that saved them the trouble of having to, you know, fix the situation themselves. Like, now that Riot, who is kind of the official ruling party on, like, League of Legends and the franchising and everything, has come in and given their word, they at least have some direction to take on what to do next.
That's true.
So either way, it's a tumultuous time in esports right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, these are the sort of growing pains that these types of industries will experience as it grows and gets more and more legitimate and mainstream. All right, let's see. Yeah, so, man, I feel like we need some sort of, like, graphic for the Echo Fox blow up every week, because there's a new chapter to this story every week.
Yeah, we add, like, a little piece of art to it every time something happens.
It'll be like a puzzle, and then finally it'll just...
I'll have that, like, smash screen, like, Riot joins the battle, you know?
Yeah.
Who else is next?
Yeah. All right. Leonsis says, some dude named Leonsis says that NBA 2K players will be better known and better paid than LeBron James in 10 years.
So, for context, Ted Leonsis is a highly respected American businessman, and he has stakes in multiple traditional sports teams, including the Washington Capitals and the Washington Wizards, and others as well. I believe he's invested in Axiomatic, which owns Team Liquid. So he's one of, like, the big names investors behind Axiomatic, which has made other investments in the space, not just Team Liquid. So I think it's a really big deal that he is saying this, and I am going to let you guys respond first before I go into my very strong opinion on this.
I think it's hilarious that he said this, because firstly, watching the reaction from all my industry colleagues in esports has been quite entertaining. But I don't know if in 10 years from now, esports players will be more famous. Was it more famous or as famous that he was saying? More famous than the equivalent of LeBron James in the same time period. Like Ryan said before, we have a lot of growing pains in the industry. And honestly, I feel like in 10 years from now, those would not have been completely erased or fixed. And that because of stuff like that, it kind of halts the growth of esports and doesn't help us become legitimized. So, I mean, we've been working in this industry for, like, what, 5 to 7 years now? Like, we're practically dinosaurs, and it almost feels like not much has changed in that regard.
In terms of, not much has changed in terms of the
professional conduct, legalities, like, monitoring things and just making sure, like, you know, like, processes and introducing these kind of checks along the way.
I mean, the guy definitely knows what he's talking about. I think that, you know, it's good that there's people out there that see that potential. Not totally sure. I'm still not convinced that, like, sports games in particular are going to be what sort of drives esports forward. So I don't really see how an NBA 2K player is going to get to that level. I can see players in other games getting to that level in 10 years. I mean, better paid than LeBron. I mean, that's a tall order, but I'll tell you what, if I was an NBA 2K player right now, I would be doing my damnedest to get on Leonsis's good side. Like, please, somebody get me in touch with this guy, because he must know something that a lot of us don't, which is not surprising because of how many sports teams he's, you know, or because of his involvement in professional sports. But I mean, I hope it happens, but it seems like a short timeline. But the thing is, like, these types of things happen so rapidly, you know, like, it's not really like incremental growth. I mean, it is, but then you reach a certain, like, tipping point, and then the growth becomes exponential. So 10 years from now, I mean, remember, Street Fighter 4 had just come out. We were all, you know, like, fire hadn't been invented, you know, the wheel was still square. So, you know, a lot can change in 10 years. Yeah.
That's true. But I mean, even now, you know, the most famous gamer in the world, Ninja, do you think he's more well known than LeBron?
No,
just
absolutely.
Out of curiosity.
No, I don't. But that's not to say that in 10 years, you know, he wouldn't be, you know, because we're going to sort of reach this point at some point. I don't know when that will be, but where the sort of decline of traditional sports meets the incline of esports, there will be like this sort of meeting point, because the reality is that for play, like, let's say football players especially, you know, because of the dangers involved with, you know, playing at the highest level, there's going to be a decrease in parents who want their kids to play football growing up. And as we see every week with another university hopping on board with an esports program, it's going to be way more accepted and common for young people to get these sort of esports scholarships, because why would you be playing a physically dangerous game like football when you could be playing the opposite of a physically dangerous game in, you know, esports?
My turn yet?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. The floor is yours.
This shit is so stupid. And this is insane. Like, and this is the shit that is literally killing my industry right now.
This is killing esports.
It's so fucking stupid.
Our industry.
NBA 2K viewership is terrible. Like, looking at articles from about a year ago when it launched, and by the way, I don't think it's done like hundreds and thousands of percent increase in viewership. This thing averages 6.5K viewers on Twitch. All right. There's like this article from FanAI, which tracks all this stuff. This is from February 12th, 2019. So it's towards the start of the year now. And they're talking about how over the course of its inaugural season, NBA 2K League reached 656K total unique viewers. That is awful. That is so bad. That is insane. They are spending so much money on this thing. And if they're not losing money, it's because the advertisers are losing money. I don't know. But nobody's watching this shit. Nobody cares about NBA 2K League. It's just not a thing. I don't care that they're doing it, because whatever, do your tournament and waste your money. That's fine. But nobody's watching this. So to say that in 10 years, they're going to be more famous than LeBron is so insanely ludicrous that I can't believe it. And the problem is, these statements go out and they get heard by everybody. And it's the goddamn Bitcoin effect, where everybody goes like, wow, we're going to make so much money. I got to get into esports. And they think things like NBA, they don't think about, they don't look and compare like, okay, how's League versus Overwatch League or anything. They hear like NBA 2K League is going to be great. This is how shit like the H1Z1 Pro League occurs, where money's just funneled into something that is pointless and isn't ever going to become anything. And it just gets wasted. And I've got a perfect example of this, by the way, because when I tweeted about this out of frustration, I can, within five tweets, and I'm going to share this with our lovely producer, who I don't know his name, but he seems really like he knows what he's doing. I've got this Twitter chain of, where is it? Of like five tweets. Did the person delete it? No, they didn't delete it. Okay.
Oh my God, that would have been perfect.
So here we go. So I'm going to share this, and maybe we'll end up getting it up on the screen. But I can show you how this affects the industry within the case of over the course of five tweets. Okay. So basically, I wrote, this is a yikes, because I just like this again. This is the stuff that's like overvaluing the industry. People come in, they spend a lot, they're going to lose a lot, and then we're going to create this like esports bubble, probably already exists, and everybody's going to lose money, and it's going to suck because people are going to pull out. So Christian Bishop, who for some reason I don't understand, has a check mark next to his name on Twitter. I had to double check that it wasn't like an emote that he added in somehow, because like, so I've seen that people do that before. He adds, and I don't know how I got 45K followers. I can't imagine. He replies and says, wow, he's on board with gaming. Clap emote. Perfect. Invest more. By the way, anytime anybody uses a clap emote in a tweet about investment, you know that you're in trouble. And then I reply, I hope you're joking. And he said, I'll take the capital to the space from visionaries who dream big any day on the daily operators to manage it responsibly. There you go. There is all of the problems with the investment in this industry summed up. You've got Ted Leonsis, who's out of touch, has no idea but a ton of money, who's investing a ton into the space and doesn't know what he's doing, clearly, because he thinks LeBron is going to end up becoming old news compared to NBA 2K players in a decade. And he's just funneling money into the space. And people like Christian Bishop are gobbling it up and is like, oh, I'll just take his money and we'll figure it out. It doesn't matter that like all these esports companies are failing across the board. This is how Infinite occurs. All right. This is how like the Optic and Equifax problems occur with their parent companies. And Christian Bishop, I'm sure, will have his company that he's working at right now fail soon enough, much like his previous company failed. And it's all just going to be like, just take all this money. Take all the money from the investors. And who cares? Because it's on us to figure it out. And I'm sure we will. And it just drives me crazy. Because, and now, because of this Ted Leonsis tweet, I'm sure, or tweets like it, or statements like it, more money will come in a very dumb way, get spent in terrible ways, and it's just, the problem is just going to keep going on. I was like so pissed off whenever I saw the Ted Leonsis tweet, and then whenever I saw Christian Bishop's reply, I was like, it's right here, in these five tweets, I see everything.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, you know, about people wanting to come in and spend the money and there it being unclear about the return and people out there, you know, taking this money. But I think the reality is that it's gonna keep happening until there's a real market correction or somebody figures it out and actually starts to make ROI for their, you know, esports investors. P.S. Shameless plug, hit up Gutex for all of your ROI needs when it comes to investing your esports dollars. But anyways, at some point, somebody is going to figure it out. And I think that it takes these type of investors to come in and invest this money in ways that work as well as that don't work. Because the more that happens, the more future investors will start to wisen up, which makes it, you know, easier for, you know, which makes it easier to create realistic expectations for
Well, the problem is, like I agree that you need to have some failure in terms of investment in order to find stuff out, right? Like whenever any industry is growing and blowing up, you need to have people come in and experiment with cash. The problem is people use Newzoo numbers, which we all know.
For sure. Lesson number one. If it's a Newzoo source, you need a second one.
And things like the H1Z1 Pro League pop up, which did anyone in this industry who knows anything think that that was going to happen? Like, I don't mind. Like, 100 Thieves is a great example of an experiment, right? Like, I don't know if 100 Thieves is going to succeed eventually and get people their money back, but it is like built on a pretty decent premise. They have a real product, and they've got fans of their brand within a very short time. And they've invested in a proven product, the LCS, which has shown that it can get viewership. Now, we don't know, viewership might be going down and all that stuff, but at least that's like a real concrete thing. Things like H1Z1 Pro League are a disaster. A great example of this are esports media companies. I can promise this, I can say this on my own experience, which is like Blitz. Here's another good example. Blitz Esports came in, spent a bunch of money, didn't seem to have, and I like the guys over there. I think that it was nice that they did this, but they didn't seem like they had a long-term plan on to monetize, and eventually they failed. Now, a bunch of people from Blitz have now gone to Upcomer, which took $3 million in fund. I think it was $3 million. They took some large amount of money in funding. It might have been a million something. You can find out on Crunchbase, I think. And now Upcomer is just going to do the exact same thing Blitz did, because monetization is a huge struggle in this industry, especially for media. And people aren't checking. We're just going through the same stupid loop. So eventually enough, my concern, Gutex, isn't that like you're going to have that you know, oh, people are going to lose money, because, again, that's going to happen at the start of any industry. It's that people are not being smart about it. People are not being honest about where the value is. They're not learning from the failures of the past. And they're just, again, like the Christian bishops of the world are more than willing to see Ted Leonsis just be like, hey, esports is a big deal, and not be like, oh, God, like he doesn't realize that NBA 2K is not the future of this. And like, he's so out of touch. Instead, he goes, sounds like money for me. And that's the shit that drives me crazy.
There are definitely two. There's like the light side and the dark side of esports money, right? Mm-hmm. People are like, wait, don't fucking spend all that money over there. And people are like, yes, put all your money over here.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's frustrating to me because I don't think there are enough people in the industry who are doing a smart enough job of informing. And this is as much on me as anybody else, of telling the stories of where the value is and where it isn't. And there's too much misinformation out there that makes it sound like, which can mislead people, like Newzoo numbers, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is part of why we do this show, you know, to educate the people out there about
nobody watching the show is getting educated.
Well, that's why we got to keep going, because eventually we'll reach the right people. Where do you think, in your opinion, Travis, where is the value in esports for investors?
I mentioned 100 Thieves. I think.
Oh, right. What is the 100 Thieves product? I don't even know.
I mean, what I think. Okay, so it's a couple different things. They've got their esports arm, which like they're I would say they're making three bets right now. They're making a bet on esports, right? Like they've got the LCS team. They did a foray into CS:GO, which failed, but I'm sure they'll return. They've got a Call of Duty team. Like they're saying, okay, there's a chance that like esports teams might be worth something at some point in time. Then they're also making a bet on influencers. And that's why they've built like their content creator house and all that kind of thing. And then they're making a bet on apparel. Apparently you're not allowed to call it merch. 100 Thieves only exclusively calls it apparel and corrects everyone who does whatever. But and the smart thing about their model is all three of these things kind of play into each other, right? Like you can build the esports, or you can build the apparel business by working, you know, having your influencers and your esports pros like sport and all that kind of stuff. And if your esports thing takes off, it can feed into your. So that's like a world where like they are, that's like, it's not vaporware, right? Like there's something there. They've been able to build fans. They leverage Nadeshot's existing fan base to be able to do this. You know, like that's a real business. Overwatch League, which I am incredibly critical of, and I am really concerned about it. Like that is more of a business than NBA 2K. I would invest my money into Overwatch League a million times before I would invest it into NBA 2K, because guess what? People like have, it's proven that people will watch Overwatch, you know, and Blizzard has a much better track record of creating games that people want to watch and have long-term engagement and all that kind of stuff. So it's just like you got to pick your battles. Everybody acts like all these games are equal on the investment side, by the way. They all act like well, I can invest into random mobile game and it'll be great. But they act like it's on the same level as Overwatch League or League. Nobody's just, it's like, we, like, I don't know if you get very many press releases, Ryan, but with Serena and I, you know, we get a ton of press releases, or we did back when we were at Yahoo especially, and press releases would come in where I'm like, that's dead. That's already dead. Like, this is just not going to work. And I'm like, how are there people out there that are not, like, how are people not telling these guys this is not going to happen? Like, this is not a business that's going to scale.
I think a lot of it is also the people treat, they see esports and they treat it as a whole, like, one collective thing. They're like, oh, esports. It's just esports. We have the esports audience, and they don't realize that there's segregation. Esports is like traditional sports. You wouldn't compare the basketball audience to, like, the golf audience or the MMA audience. It's not all the same, and they don't understand that. So I think that kind of further compounds the problem. And then, you know, NBA 2K in particular, I think, has a advantage in that obviously it's supported by the NBA and has relationship with it, and maybe they've been able to leverage that to get people like Leonsis invested into it, and that's why he's tweeting about NBA 2K and using that as an example, whereas the people who are endemic to esports understand already that NBA 2K is not really, like, the way to go in the industry. So yeah, it's just a whole mess of, like, factors that are contributing to the problem that I think Travis, like, touched upon. And it's just, yeah, it'll be a while before all this stuff gets, like, worked out properly.
I just worry about what's going to happen in the short term. I mean, I thought that there was a giant esports bubble that would burst, like, the first year of Overwatch League. Overwatch League, to its credit, surprised me and got consistent viewership, and, like, they built something really interesting there. And I think Fortnite and Ninja came along at a great time to sort of, like, postpone the bubble and inflate the scene up even more. And because it suddenly became, like, this huge thing in America in a way that it hadn't been before. But I just worry, because at some point in time, you're going to see so many people lose so much money, that it's going to have this big ripple effect across the industry, and a bunch of people are going to lose their jobs, and people, like, instead of growing at a safe and sustainable pace, we are instead just going to, excuse the language, blow our load all at once, you know, as an industry. And I believe in esports long term. There's no way that this thing isn't a huge thing in 100 years unless we all blow ourselves up with nukes. But the short term, I don't want us to lose our progress, because people want to take money off the table. People don't think critically about their investment or about their idea. Like, no more esports media companies should exist unless they are trying something different.
Unless they know how to monetize properly.
Yeah, come up with a different business model, right? I would give Invin, for instance, credit, because they came up with the global conference. They're like, look, I don't know if they were inspired by TechCrunch in particular, but TechCrunch is a site that, like, probably loses money as a site, but then makes their money back on conferences. Hey, look, and you use the brand, the media brand, to leverage your ability to create these conferences, and that's, like, an interesting business model. But the amount of people that just take money to create a web page where they put articles up, where they just get ad blocked, and videos up that, like, nobody watches, and, you know, or they just watch on Reddit and don't watch the other content, like, and then they don't have a path to monetize that content, you know. I like to joke that Travis Gafford Industries is one of the, like, maybe the only profitable esports media company in the industry, because it's got one employee.
Hey, hey, hey.
You a media company?
You mean one of two, Travis?
Is Cross Counter also an esports media company? I feel like FGC would not like you calling it an esports media company.
Okay, I'm sorry if I say esports media company to some people and FGC media company to other people, but we're splitting hairs here, because the reality is, been profitable for the entire time because we're, you know, cultivated organically and grown, you know, through tiny little seedlings instead of, you know, just having the whole fucking operation show up.
I mean, until Echo Fox pays everybody a bajillion dollars and fucks up the salaries.
No, well, here's the thing. Like, I knew from the get-go this was going to be a long-term thing and thus had to be sustainable from the get-go, which is why the entire operation has been built on multiple streams of income, not zero of which is, like, you know, whatever, big VC money, you know, but it's always been sort of built between stuff like, okay, the content, the advertising, the merch, not apparel. Sorry for me, you know, events, consulting, the whole, you know, the whole gig. So that's the thing. There's sustainability everywhere. It's just that, you know, the people that have the money and the people who specialize in sustainability are not necessarily the same people right now. But I believe that after the big esports bubble crash of 2020 or 2013 or whatever it ends up being, then it will be the Travis Gafford Industries and the Crosscounter TVs that are getting the real money from the investments, because we built our shit organically on solid business fundamentals.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I like that we've been speaking about this bubble for years and years now, and it is yet to, I don't know, but hopefully, fingers crossed, not too many people lose their jobs from it.
Oh, it's coming. I mean, anybody working for an esports organization that has VC funding, a media company that's some sort of offshoot of an existing media conglomerate, definitely all of the, you know, the teams, pro players, all these people need to have some sort of plan, some sort of emergency plan, backup plans, A, B, and C, for when the inevitable bubble happens and either people lose their jobs, money, you know, whatever, funding gets cut, because for the most part, so much of esports is just a line item on a marketing budget.
Yeah.
Which is the wrong way to approach it.
Well, I mean, yes, of course, yes, because sustainability is the way to approach it.
Right. I've got about 5 minutes before I have to run.
Sure, yes, sorry.
Should we talk about the Twitch blow-up of the week, or do you guys always put that at the end?
Yes,
Because then I can leave, and then you guys can talk about your FGC stuff that I'm oblivious to.
Oh, it's not even FGC stuff.
Isn't Tekken and Combo Breaker FGC things?
I thought you were talking about the Twitch blow-up. Sorry. Yes. Well, we can skip to the Twitch blow-up of the week.
All right. Slasher coming through. You can always count on Slasher for the most important developments and also the best blow-ups. I wish that Slasher was here to explain why two girls making out on stream is both relevant to esports as well as really what the problem is, because I actually feel like this is a budding niche cottage industry on the side of Twitch that is going to continue to grow and grow and grow.
So you can't, I don't think you can show the making out on Twitch, because that's literally part of the issue. I mean, I don't think you could. Are we going to show it? Oh, we're showing it.
Well, I mean, this is just, I mean, this is
happy
the Twitch blow up
for
of
the last untitled esports show podcast on Twitch.
What did this get? I mean, did this get banned or something? What's wrong with girls? Okay, first off, what's wrong with people showing affection on Twitch?
TOS, TOS, TOS.
Is that
is that actually stated on the TOS, like no kissing?
I mean, did this clip not get taken down? I would be shocked if it didn't get taken down. I doubt that there's an issue with two girls kissing, but whenever it's a minute long, that'd be crazy, a minute long like makeout session, I get the feeling that that crosses into like sexual stuff. I'm so happy you guys invited me on the show for this, because I was blowing up Rod. Not blowing him up. I didn't mean
to. Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot of
here,
people
sorry.
Replied here, to here, this, yeah, and were yeah. like, oh, yeah, Travis is calling out Slasher. I didn't mean to. I was mostly just messing with him. But I love Rod as like, wait,
hold on. Let's read it.
Oh, yes, your tweet was pretty good.
Travis Gafford says, Rod has figured out how to boost his social engagement via salacious content while disguising it as, quote, industry commentary, 193 likes, to which Slasher says, Travis has figured out how to boost his social engagement via hyping up North American League of Legends and esports while disguising it as, quote, unbiased coverage.
I mean, I would never say that Travis. Me hyping up North America's unbiased coverage, but I love that he didn't even try with this tweet. He's just like, look, this is on Twitch. Copy paste minute long makeout session. Like, okay, could you didn't want a screenshot, you didn't want to say like this shouldn't be allowed, or
you no, just... Rod's very big on actually putting the video content on his Twitter itself.
Yes, well, I'm like, it's for me, it's so transparent. He's like, great, I could just put this on Twitter. I don't even have to say that much, and it'll just be like, people will be like, oh yeah, it's like Twitch stuff, and it'll get great engagement, because who doesn't like watching two attractive women make out?
I mean, this is how he has achieved the number one esports consultant position.
By the way, why are we blowing up Twitch for this? Do we really want them, like, every single stream on the platform has a Twitch admin just waiting with a button to like block?
Okay. Well, first off, Slash has just put this in here, and we've been having a Twitch blow up every single week. So I don't actually know if they got banned, because it was a toss up between Twitch ban and Twitch blow up of the week. Mm-hmm. But I think Slasher putting Twitch on blast is the blow up.
I think also, you know, we have this segment every week, and it sort of helps us track Twitch's kind of evolution mm-hmm. throughout the weeks and months to becoming a full-blown cam site at one point. So, yeah.
Oh, I, for one, welcome our new gamer cam girl overlords. You guys, if you guys watch any... Oh, hey, here's the thing. Don't look to me for your puritanical... To reinforce some sort of puritanical values, okay? Good old Gutex is the guy that tells people to do whatever the fuck they want. And I think it's only... I would love there to be a secret section on Twitch that had to be age verified, that was just fucking NSFW all the time. Hey, you know what? You guys know that you can buy sex toys on Amazon, right? You got to dig a little bit, but there's an entire adult section on Amazon.
Oh, I bet.
So, you know... what's the difference, right? Not say, you know, adult novelty toys, girls making out on Twitch. I mean,
it makes sense. I mean, you can buy games already through Twitch, right? On that, on the Amazon affiliate program or whatever the thing that they have is. So why not take it one step further?
Yeah. I mean, this exactly. You're like top of the Twitch NSFW charts. You're like testing out a new toy that you got from Amazon. It's linked in your Twitch extension. I mean,
so happy I could be here for this valuable industry commentary.
This moves units. You know, I don't know. That's just me, though.
I mean, the adult entertainment industry does kind of. Is very influential in like important moments in technological advancements. So it would be 100%. The first time.
100%. I mean, streaming from VR becomes a thing, if it's not Twitch that has the VR NSFW sites where you can just be in there with your favorite Twitch cam gamer girl, somebody else
or gamer boy,
or yes, gamer whoever. Whoever's getting naked on camera for tokens or bits, somebody else will do it if they choose not to. Maybe it'll be... I mean, Facebook is making a big play with the Oculus, right? Maybe it'll be them.
No, I apologize. I know I extend the show ranting, but I do have to run.
Okay, no problem. All right,
thank you, Travis. Jumping
yes.
in.
Yes, thank you, Travis, for coming through in the clutch and filling in. Where can people go for more Travis Gafford?
Travis Gafford is my Twitter handle. Travis Gafford is my YouTube handle, and Travis Gafford _ is my Instagram handle, because there's a fisherman on the Texas coastline who lives a more fulfilling life than I have.
Shut up, really?
He's got Travis Gafford on Instagram. If you want just a happier man to follow, he's got this lovely wife, and he's just living out.
You want to be like him when you grow up.
He's the real Travis Gafford.
No. Oh!
He should get the check mark on Instagram that I don't have, because he's the actual one.
Are you going to be streaming? When's the next time you're streaming?
I do a show on Monday nights called Hotline League, where people call in with very bad takes, and then we talk about them.
Excellent.
Yeah, nice. On Twitch, which is also at Travis Gafford.
.tv/Travis Gafford. Travis, thank you so much for coming for joining us. Catch you
Did
next
I
time.
Disconnect from the call?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that safe? Okay, cool. Bye, everyone. Oh, yeah, there
Bye.
He is.
Thank you, Travis.
Man himself. Look at the dog. You know, he's just... Oh. Bye.
All right. Later, man. Oh.
He does look like
he's having quite a good time.
Yes, he's living his best life.
Yeah. Hey. You know. All right, let's see what else we got. Big news in the Tekken world. Team Liquid announces that they have signed a new Tekken player, Jen, who will be Gen. All right. It was a 50-50. Gen is going to be at Combo Breaker, which I will also be at this weekend. Zorin. You're super stoked about this.
I was so, so excited. So Team Liquid making this announcement, they only posted it, I think, like an hour ago. So it's very recent, but basically they've picked up a Tekken player, which now adds to their fighting game roster. They have Street Fighter players already. They have Nemo and John Takeuchi, who we both know. But this is their first time going into the Tekken scene, which is really, really surprising, actually. It kind of came left of field, in my opinion. But they also say in their announcement that they like Tekken. They think Tekken has shown a lot of growth in the past 3 years. And quite frankly, I agree. Tekken is on the increase every year at Evo in terms of entrance. And I think at other tournaments, it's similar as well. So by all, this is like the greatest news ever. Not ever, but like I was so happy because it just affirms that, you know, Tekken is a solid game that's worth supporting and is growing by like all intents and purposes, it is growing every single year. And that's amazing to me. And it's such a good game. It's such a good fighting game.
Well, tell us how you really feel, Zorin.
Sorry. Now I'm like gushing about Tekken. But seriously, like, you know, as a Tekken player myself, obviously, like, very passionate about the scene and happy to see a player like Gen get picked up. So for those who don't know, he's like this 18-year-old prodigy. I think he first played at Evo in 2017 or 2016. I can't remember how long ago it was, but he was like really young and he made it to the grand final to play against JDCR. He didn't beat him, but making it all the way to the grand final at his first foreign tournament as a young Tekken player from Japan, like that is so crazy.
Yeah, no, it's amazing to achieve that level of performance as such an early age. Really interesting. Well, I mean, it could be a really good long-term investment, you know, because he's so young. Because especially from like a deal/business perspective from Liquid side, it's like, all right, well, here's this kid who's young, who probably is not gonna need that much money and probably be happy for the opportunity. Well, I mean, this is, you know, kind of the thing, right? I mean, as we're talking about...
It goes back to what we were talking about with esports contracts, right? These kids, when they're young, they sign contracts not understanding what they're signing into exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, who knows? Especially young people outside of North America, I would say, would probably be even less experiences with the nuances of, you know, contracts and the legal system in America. But either way, you know, sort of investing in these younger players probably means that even if you're sort of increasing their salary a little bit year over year, you're still not going to be paying as much as you would be when they were older and more established.
I wonder if that's why they didn't pick up any of the other kind of established pros who are currently teamless.
Oh, well, see, that's the thing. Like, why? Exactly. Yes. I mean, it's to the level now, I think, where a lot of players within the ones that are already established, you know, like the S and A tier players, it's like, okay, they've probably already been sponsored a bunch of different times. And generally, every time you're with a new team or a new sponsor, there's a bit of a pay jump because you know from last time, all right, well, if I was worth, you know, travel this time, then maybe next time I'm worth like travel plus $500 a month. Oh, maybe I'm worth like, you know, $2,000 a month now. So the every time you get a player that has already been sponsored and has already been part of other teams, the price tag just goes up every time.
That's true. That's very true. Feels bad, man. Feels bad.
And also, those players are likely to be a lot less malleable than newer players, you know, because newer players are just going to be happy to be there versus, you know, veterans that may be like, nah, I ain't doing that. Or like, oh,
absolutely.
Or I definitely do that, but you got to add an extra 25% of this deal. You know, especially when it comes to, you know, to the content and everything.
Yeah. And, you know, you've read so many of these contracts before, Gutex. Like, we've talked about this before. So many players, especially in the FGC, are just so happy to take, like, oh, I get travel. Like, you're going to send me to, like, 3 events or something. Like, that's awesome. And they just take that, you know, take the deal and they're happy with it and think they're getting out something good out of it. And it kind of kills me a little bit inside. Well, I have to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, well, here's the thing. Like, it's not that travel, just getting travel is a bad deal. It's only a bad deal if you're at the level at which you could negotiate salary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just say you were top of the Tekken leaderboards online, you know, but you're not traveling to tournaments. You're not sponsored or anything. You're just some anonymous online warrior. For a player like that, a deal that was only travel could be amazing because they're not doing anything like that, as opposed to, you know, players who, you know, have been out there traveling and placing well in tournaments. You know, a travel deal for them may not be as attractive, but still, when it's your first deal, many players are only offered travel.
Absolutely.
But that's not, I mean, that's certainly not like the upper echelon. But I would say that you sort of have to have a travel deal before you have travel plus money, with one way to negotiate money from a contract that was only travel being to also include the, like, some sort of content component of the deal. Because then if you've built your audience already and your content is getting views, then it's easy for, or it's a good negotiating point to bring to the table, which is why it's important that people who are trying to get sponsored and everything aren't just focused on the in-game stuff, but also the metagame stuff, like building your following and creating content.
Yeah, and that's a whole other topic that we can talk about for like hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is, just put it out here that I like looking at contracts and providing guidance for stuff like that. So yeah, anybody out there who needs that, feel free to reach out to good old Gutex, because I've seen a lot of contracts. Anyways. Also, yeah. So as we mentioned, this is also kind of a big deal because Combo Breaker is this weekend. Combo Breaker, one of the CAFCON Pro Tour premier events, coming to you from the Midwest in St. Charles, Illinois. I'll be there. Zorian, you're going to be there?
That's right. I'll be there.
What are you going to be doing there?
Well, apparently filming content with you, but also competing in Tekken. No, don't do that. You're building up and like hype and anticipation for something that's probably not going to go very smoothly. So, but yes, I will be there. I'll be playing in Tekken 7.
Oh man, I hope it's you versus Gen first round.
Oh my god, no. I don't think he's in my pool. I checked.
Oh, too bad. Maybe you run into him in semis.
God, that'd be crazy.
That'd be awesome. And then, you know, you can teach him a thing or two.
I'll
take
like,
a sponsor.
Hey,
take a sponsorship. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Actually, you know what I would do if I were you? If I were you, I would be like, oh, I would try to, I would play the meta game with him. If I were you.
Is this what you do in your tournaments, Ryan?
First, Yes, this is how I've achieved all of my tournament wins. I just flirt with my opponent, and I'm just like, yeah. I throw them off their game a little bit. You know, you sit down, you know, you give them a little, you know, you give them a little smile, a little wink. You go to shake their hand, and you, like, you know, you don't let go. You know, you wait until they let go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. You got to give him one of those, Zorin.
Interesting.
You know, might be a little, you know, a little, oof, you know, get a little distracted. You know what I'm saying? You're like deep in his, you know, you take up some resident deep in his head, maybe some other parts. And
oh, my God. All right. There you have it. The Gutex strategy coming at you from the Street Fighter master himself.
Now, here's the thing. I thought that women didn't necessarily have an advantage in esports, but now I'm beginning to understand one of them.
Dear Lord. I mean, we're making a lot of assumptions here.
Well, just, you know, this is just things that you learn.
Thank you for the useless strategy.
You didn't even try it. I don't even know.
I am not trying it. We're not going to discuss that. I'm gonna get thrown out of Combo Breaker. That'll be the discussion.
Thrown out of Combo Breaker.
Topic blow for the, like, headline next week.
Exactly. Blow up here with the blow up of the week. It's Zorin getting physically escorted off
out of
Combo Breaker for trying my strategy I recommended.
For attempting Gutex unsavory strategy on a foreign minor.
Hey, you said he was 18, okay?
Oh, that's true. Sorry. For some reason, I thought 21 was like the adult age here. Dear God.
Just saying. All right. Well, I think that about does it for us this week. I want to definitely thank everybody for watching, tuning in this week. We want to thank Travis Gafford for filling in for Slasher, who fell off the face of the earth this week. Like, he
literally, like, 10 minutes right before 10 minutes. When we were talking to him, 10 minutes before the show started.
I think I...
Oh, hey, if anyone in chat is also going to Combo Breaker, do me a favor, and if you see Gutex around, please go up and say hi to him and tell him that you listen to or watch the Untitled Esports show, because he doesn't believe me when I say people actually watch this show and listen to it. So it'd be really great if we had people go up to him during Combo Breaker and tell them that, hey, we are actually listening and watching the show.
Literally nobody that I've spoken to in real life that I don't have in my phone book has said a word to me about the show. I know nobody. The people, here's the thing. This is for esports industry professionals. You know, we just happen to be, this just happens to, you know, be a fighting game show. And now, actually, I wish I would have thought of that so I could have told Travis that we are an esports media company, because this is the fucking Untitled Esports show. God damn it, Travis.
It's all right. You can just blow him up on Twitter and have everyone encourage it.
So mad. Travis has no idea how long we've been profitable and been around. And that's the other thing. I think a lot of other people don't even think that it is possible to be profitable in this space. But when sustainability is your goal from the get-go, not trying to get, you know, when you're trying to put in sweat equity, not give up equity to venture capital, then you focus on the things that matter.
Hey, preaching to the choir.
All right. Anyways, Zorin, where can people go for more Zorin between now and seeing you get carted off on stage at Combo Breaker?
I'm on Twitter, Zorin, and on Instagram as Team Zorin, and on Twitch as Team Zorin.
All right. And of course, we want to shout out our partners at XSplit for powering the Untitled Esports show. Thank you, Lewis, for holding it down. on the Mixer and the XSplit software this weekend or today. And yeah, you can follow me. My name is Gutex. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram. Check out the channel, youtube.com/crosscountertv. Follow us on Twitch. And thanks for watching. Oh, and it's on the iTunes. It's on iTunes. anchor.fm/untitledesportsshow. Check that out. And we got the audio in there.
So, thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll see you guys later. Bye.